Do thank you again this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His love to us and for the wonderful miracle of our salvation. We know we could never deserve to go to heaven by our own works, by our own merit. And we thank you for being a God who loves us, provided salvation for us in total, that by faith in Jesus Christ, we can be born again and become a child of God, be in your family, and have you for a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. We pray as we look into your Word today that the Holy Spirit might show us things that would encourage us to live for you and to walk as we should walk in glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. We've seen so far in this fourth chapter of Ephesians that Paul, after having for three chapters given us teaching or doctrine or basic principles, he starts talking about applying those things. In the little word there in the first verse of the fourth chapter, walk worthy. In the second verse, he talks about, or he emphasizes the inner life, that which is on the inside, and we took a whole week just to look at that. And then in verse 3 through 6, he talks about the emphasis upon the outer life, or the basis of the unity that we have in Jesus Christ. We have one body. We have everybody who is saved is placed into the body of Christ. We have not only a body, but we have there one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, who dwells within our bodies individually. Then we have one hope of our calling. God has called us and He's given us hope for the future. We have one Lord, we have one faith, we have one baptism, and we have one God and Father who is above all and through all and in us all. Now, this all comes down to unity. If we have the Holy Spirit inside of us and He is directing us as the body of Christ to do certain things, then we're going to do those things in unison. We're going to do those things together. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead us to deviate from this or to go off into a tangent one way or the other. But He's going to lead us all to go down the same road together. So when someone or a group or a number of people are deviating from that, then that's not unity. The Holy Spirit leads us to be united together. And this is something that the Word of God, as we learn the Word of God and we begin to apply it to our life, then we will begin to walk in unison. We'll begin to walk together. Now, He has an order in all this, and He's going to begin to talk about that. In the seventh verse that we take up this morning, notice He says, "But unto every one of us is given grace." Now, that's a wonderful thing. The little word "every" there means individual. Each, the word should read, not every, but each one of you, or each one of us, is given grace. Aren't you glad that God deals with us in a way we don't deserve and the way we don't earn? So often people say, "I want my desserts." Well, I sure don't. Don't give me what I deserve. If I got what I deserve, even as nice a fellow as I am, and as wonderful a husband as I am, and a wonderful father as I still deserve to go to hell. Even though I pay my debts, even though I don't get drunk, and I don't spit and chew, whatever. I still, if I got my desserts, I'd still go to hell. But God's given me grace. God's given me that which I have not earned and I have not deserved. And when Paul is talking to these people there that he's writing to in this little book of Ephesians, he says, "But unto every or each one of us is given grace according to the measure or the standard of the gift of Christ. God gives us grace according to the standard of the gift of Jesus Christ. Now, what did Jesus Christ give? He gave Himself. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and He came down into a sinful world to be despised, to be rejected, to be beaten, to be cursed, to be separated from God the Father as the payment for all of our sins. And according to that standard, God has given us grace. Now, as you begin to think about the standard that God measures our grace out to us, it just boggles our minds. You know, God could give out a little pinch of grace here, a little pinch over here, and a little tidbit there, but He doesn't do it. God just floods us with grace day after day after day after day. And so often we are so ungrateful. So often we take it for granted that, you know, I just deserve all the air I can breathe. I deserve all the food that I can eat till I just stuff myself. I deserve a better house than I have, maybe, or a better car than I have. And God, You know the clothes I have is not yet good enough. If we cleaned out, all of us cleaned out our closets, the clothes we haven't even put on in the last year, the greenhouse probably couldn't hold it. Much less the closets over there. And food? We know that the average American family throws away more food than the average family overseas has to live on. Now, we throw away that much. And we talk about, or we get to thinking about the grace of God, and we get to feeling sorry for ourselves. But when we really look down and see how much God's grace is poured out upon us, it just really staggers us and boggles our minds. And how thankful we ought to be for the measure of the gift of Christ, that God shows us grace. Wherefore, verse 8, wherefore He said, when He ascended up on high and led captive to captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, He's talking about pouring out grace, and He's pouring out this wonderful gift, these wonderful gifts to us. And He said that, He quotes here actually from the Psalms, when He says there in the 8th verse, where when He ascended on high, He's quoting here from Psalm 68:18. He said, He ascended on high, and He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts unto men. Now, He's actually talking about two different groups here. When He says He led captivity captive, actually what He's saying is He led those that are captive into captivity. Now, who are those who are captive? That He leads into captivity. All right, we're going to explain that in just a minute. And then He says He gave gifts unto men. Now, Christ ascended up to heaven before He led captivity captive. And after He led captivity captive, then He gave gifts unto men. Now, last week we tried to explain to you about the church and when the church started and how important it is. And we know that the gifts are given to the church. We will be talking next week about spiritual gifts. We are all in the body of Christ. We are all placed in the body, and we were all given spiritual gifts, at least one or maybe more, the moment we were saved. Now, this didn't start until after Jesus Christ ascended to heaven and He led the captivity captive. Now, when He led captivity captive, He led some people up to heaven. Now, who did He lead to heaven? All right. We have a little graph here for you on the screen. And this little A here represents Adam. And this A represents Abraham, and this represents Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. When Christ died on the cross, he was buried, he arose again the third day. Now, when Jesus Christ died, arose again the third day, then he walked on the earth for 40 days. And after his resurrection and walking on the earth for 40 days, the Bible says he ascended up into heaven. Now, when he ascended to heaven, he led captivity captives. Now, notice very carefully here in our passage this morning. Notice verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now, where is the lower parts of the earth? All right. Here's the earth here, and here's Jesus Christ up on a cross. Now, that was in Jerusalem, and he was actually on the surface of the earth when he died on the cross. And he ascended into the lower parts of the earth, and in the lower parts of the earth, there is a place that is called Hades. That's the New Testament. R-S-H-E-O-L. Sheol is Old Testament. Now, these are exactly the same place. It just happened to be Hebrew word and a Greek word. Now, Sheol and Hades is in the lower parts of the earth. It's down this way. Now, we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that the further you go down, what happens? Huh? Now, you drown? If you go right straight down, you just take a big bore and you bore a big hole in this earth and you start going down, 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 what happens down there? It gets hot. And the further you go, the hotter it gets. In fact, we know that beyond no doubt whatsoever that if you go far enough down there, you'll run into some molten lava. And every once in a while, some of it spurts out. We call it what? A volcano. And no one wants to tangle with a volcano. So in the lower parts of the earth, it's hot down there. Now, we also know, and we're going to give you some verses of Scripture in just a moment, that this Hades or Sheol actually is divided into two different parts. And we'll call this little split here a gulf. And we'll see why in a few moments. Now, on this side over here, used to, and I say used to, there was a place called Abraham's bosom, or we could call it paradise. On this side, there's a place called torment. Now, let me summarize, and then I'm going to give you the verses of Scripture for it. When a man over here between Adam and Abraham, he died, and he was saved, and here's a man over here between Adam and Abraham, he died, and he was unsaved. We put a plus for saved and a minus for unsaved. Between Abraham and Christ, the same thing, we've got a saved, and then we've got an unsaved man. And then over here, now this is since Christ ascended, and we're living in our day that we live today. We have people who are saved, and we have people who are unsaved. All right? Now, we suppose that this man here is Cain. Cain never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He did not believe that in the coming Messiah. So when he died, he went down to where? Torments. The same man, when he died, he went down to where? Abraham's bosom. Paradise. Over here, the same thing. Paradise, torments. Now, today, if an unsaved man dies, where does he go? Torments. In other words, anytime an unsaved man dies, he goes down here to this place called Sheol or Hades, and he goes over on this side that is called torments. Now, if you will turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 1 for just a moment. Now, remember, Jesus Christ ascended up, and before he ascended up, he first descended. He ascended up after his resurrection and walking on the earth 40 days. Well, actually, after his resurrection, or during his, he ascended up to heaven. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 1. Paul says, "It is expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Now, he's writing to some people that he's had to correct. And they've been sort of down on Paul, and they haven't really liked to listen to what he has to say. And so he says, "I'm going to have to boast. I'm going to have to brag a little bit. I'm going to have to come to the point." He says, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or out of the body, I don't know. I can't tell. God knows." Now, he says, whether he was inside of his body or out, I just don't know. Now, actually, Paul was stoned at Lystra. And this is probably what he's talking about. He went to the third heaven. Now, we'll talk about that in just a moment. Notice, such an one was caught up into the third heaven. In our passage this morning, he mentions the heavens. Turn back, by the way, hold Ephesians 4, because we'll be coming back to it quite a bit. In Ephesians 4:10, he says, "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all" what? Heavens, plural. So there's more than one heaven, and we'll get to that in a minute. "But he descended in the lower parts of the earth, he ascended first." Now, Paul says he went to the third heaven, "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such was caught up into" what? What? Paradise. All right. Now, he says this man was caught up into paradise. But you said, Nap, you said a moment ago that paradise is in the heart of the earth. All right. Now, when was this man caught up into paradise? After Christ died on the cross. Paul here trusted Jesus Christ after he ascended to heaven. He was on the Damascus Road, and somewhere after this, Paul trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. He was stoned, as we said, at Lystra and left there for dead, and possibly he was dead. He didn't know whether he was in his body or out of his body. He was in an unconscious state as far as his body was concerned, but he was very conscious as far as his soul and spirit was concerned, and he knew where he was. He knew he went to the third heaven. He went up there to where paradise was. Now, when Jesus Christ led captivity captive, what he did is he led paradise up into heaven. Now, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew chapter 27, we have the account of the Lord Jesus Christ dying. In verse 46, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That's when we knew God the Father turned the back on God the Son, and that he was paying for our sins, because the payment for sin is separation from God. And Paul was separated from God. Jesus was separated from God on the cross. He was separated from him, paying for your sin. Now, look at verse 31. "And behold, the veil in the temple was torn in two." This was after Christ died at the death there. "From the bottom to the top, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened." Now, who are these? These are graves of who? Old Testament saints. Now, he says, "The graves were opened, and many bodies," not all the bodies, "of the saints which slept were raised." Now, he says, not all the bodies, not all the graves were open, but there were graves that were open, and some of the bodies of these people who were in the grave, they were raised. Notice, he says, "The graves were open, and many bodies of the saints that slept were raised and came out of the graves, notice, after his resurrection, after Christ's resurrection, they came out and went into the Holy Spirit city and appeared unto many." Now, after Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, there were other people who were raised from the dead, and they were raised in their bodies. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is the first fruits. Resurrection speaks of the first fruit, and he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we don't have time to go there this morning, but you can check this out. He says there was one grain was planted, and it came up a stalk. And we know when you plant one grain and a stalk comes up, what do you produce? Many grains of wheat or whatever it is on that stalk. If it's corn, you've got a nut, you plant one grain of corn and you have a whole bunch of grains of corn that come up, don't you? Now, when they had the Feast of First Fruits, they would go out in the field and they would go out and they would take a whole handful of wheat, and they would bring that whole handful of wheat and they would wave it. And this spoke of resurrection. It wasn't just one grain. It was a number of grains of wheat. Now, Jesus is the first resurrection. And then these are the rest of the shock. In other words, these were some of these Old Testament saints who died, who were saved, whose bodies, their soul and spirit, went down here into paradise. And they were, their bodies were raised, their soul and spirit went back into their bodies, and then Jesus Christ took them up to heaven, and apparently their bodies are up in heaven right now with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's more than one body up in the third heaven. We know there's one, and apparently there are others up there too. Now, if they're up there, what does that mean to you and to me? How can we make a practical application? Well, Paul does this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says if Christ arose from the dead, and these Old Testament saints arose from the dead in their physical bodies, then what about it? We're going to be raised. That's what he's saying to us. We're going to be raised too. We may die, but we're going to come back from the dead. And we're going to be taken to heaven also. Now, look at the next verse of Scripture. Psalms chapter 16, verse 10, and Acts chapter 2, verse 27. They say the same thing, so let's just go to Acts chapter 2 and look at verse 27. 25. David speaking concerning him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I saw the Lord always before my face. This is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. He says, I saw the Lord always before my face, for He is on my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall also rest in hope. My flesh, my body shall dwell in hope. Because Thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades. David said that God was not going to leave his soul in Hades, down here in the heart of the earth. Now, when David died, he was saved, and so where did he go? To Abraham's bosom, to paradise part of Hades. See? He says, Thou shalt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou allow thine Holy One. Now, who is thy Holy One? That's the Lord Jesus. God says He's not going to let His Holy One to see corruption. He's not going to let his body, even though his body's going to die, it's not going to go to corruption. What does it mean? It's not going to deteriorate. It's not going to go back to dust and dirt. Why? It's going to stay dead 3 days and three nights. And it's not going to deteriorate. It's going to be what? It's going to be raised. So David says, you're not going to leave my soul in Hades. All right, now turn to Matthew chapter 12 and look at verse 40. Matthew chapter 12. And look at verse 40. He says, For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the what? The heart of the earth. Jesus Christ says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the great fish's stomach, Jesus Christ is going to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, what's in the heart of the earth? Hades, Sheol. See? Now, we know that Jesus Christ stayed what? 3 days and three nights. Just like He said. And then what happened? Well, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, do you remember one of the sayings that He says, Father, into Thy hand I commend my what? Spirit. So when Jesus Christ was hanging there on the cross, His spirit went to the third heaven, to the Father. Thou shalt not leave His soul in Sheol, so His soul went down to Sheol. Down into the heart of the earth. Now turn with me to Ephesians. Well, we've already seen Ephesians 4. Look at Luke chapter 23. While we're already over there. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And verse 42. Now, this is Jesus Christ upon the cross, and you remember there's a thief on each side. And one thief says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Verse 42. 43. Jesus said unto him, "Today, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me," where? Paradise. Now, his soul went down into paradise, down into the heart of the earth. And this thief on the cross who was saved, he went down here to paradise, to the heart of the earth. Now look, turn back to Luke chapter 16. Look at Luke 16. There was a certain rich man, verse 19, that was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it was came to pass that the beggar died. Now, the beggar was saved, and he died and went where? To paradise. See, this is before Christ's death on the cross. Now, the Lazarus was saved. He says, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, over here in the torment side, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. See the torment sign? And seeing Abraham afar off, across the great gulf, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried, saying, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger in the water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And Abraham said, "Son, remember thou that in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus thine evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed," here's our great gulf, "so that they who would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from here, there." And he goes on and tries to get him to go and tell his brothers. But what I wanted you to see here is that over here on this side of the cross, the saved man died, Lazarus, he went to Abraham's bosom. The unsaved man died, he went to torments. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We'll begin at verse 6. "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Paul says, as long as I'm here on this earth and I am in my body, you see, our body is merely the house that we live in. This is our house. And we can move out of our house. That's physical death. And he says, as long as we're at home in the body, then we're absent from the Lord. Why? The Lord is where? Up in the third heaven. "We walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body," physical death, "and to be present with the Lord." Present means face to face with, eyeball to eyeball with. This is a little idiom that's in the Greek there for face to face or eyeball to eyeball with the Lord. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ," and so on and so forth. So, you see, today, when this man here dies, he doesn't go down here to Abraham's bosom in paradise, because paradise is no longer there. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he sent it down here. He got these people here, and he led them up into heaven. And today, when we die, we go straight to heaven.
to be absent from the body is to be face to face up in the third heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are face to face with Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that we saw just a moment ago, Paul says he was up there. Now turn to Matthew chapter 16 and let's look at verse 18 for just a moment. Matthew 16, 18. Jesus Christ, He is talking to His disciples. Now, this account is before Christ's death on the cross. He's teaching His disciples, and He is asking His disciples, He says, who does everybody say that I am? People are talking about me. Who do they say I am? And they said different people. All right. Look at verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, Peter says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will, future tense, I will in the future build my church. Now, from this point forward, and this is not just a few, this is just a few days before Christ dies on the cross, He says, somewhere in the future I am going to build my church. And notice what He says also, I will build my church, and the gates, what is a gate? It's a door. What's a door for? Let people in and out. It's a place that you go in and out. Now He says, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against what? The church. Why? Because now, the moment we die, we go where? Up to heaven. Face to face with the Lord. We don't go down to Hades. In the Old Testament, they did go to Hades. But now we don't. We go straight to heaven. Well, why the difference? Why? Do you want to know? Well, here's the difference. Who lives in the third heaven? Permanently. Who's never left the third heaven? The Father. The Father demands that sin be paid for in full. He says that every sin has to be paid for, and it has to be paid for in full. Now, these people over here, Adam, when he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, was his sin paid for? No. Was Abraham's sin paid for? No. Was David's sin paid for? No. Was Moses' sins paid for? No. When were they paid for? When Christ died on the cross. So these people were saved on credit. You know what credit is, don't you? That means you get something before you pay for it. You go down to the store and you buy something and you say, charge it. That means what? Later on, you're going to have to come back and pay for it. Now, their sins were charged to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as soon as He paid for it, then they didn't have to stay in Hades any longer. Now, this part over here is paradise. It's the King's Garden. It's a place of delight. And bless God's heart, He air-conditioned half of Hades. And when the saved people died and went down there, it was a place. And if you remember in Luke chapter 16, when Lazarus went down there, he wasn't in torment. But the other guy was. He was very conscious. He was very much there, out of his body, but very much alive. And being chained in torments. And I want you to know something else. He's still down there today. He's still down there today. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. He says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, and He didn't, but cast them down into hell, it really should read Tartarus. Now, in torments, there's another little compartment over here, and this is where the angels go. And deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. In other words, they are, God cast some angels down here in this part, and he keeps them down there until judgment. Until the judgment time. Now, when is the judgment time? All right. This is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. This is year 1982. One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're talking about this on Sunday nights and from the book of Revelation, and we'll give you the details if you want the details on all this, if you'll come on Sunday night. Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds and take all the saved people, everybody who's died from Pentecost until this time, they're going to all be resurrected. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to be up here for 7 years. And then we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to get our crowns, our rewards. Then we're coming back to the earth, and we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. This is 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, there's going to be a great white throne judgment. Now, I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And look at verse 11. Now, we're not going to go into a lot of detail on this, but we will show you what he says here. He says, I saw a great white throne. This is the great white throne judgment. And him that sat on it, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, didn't matter how big they were, whether they were king or whether they were pauper, stand before God, and the books, plural, were open, and another book, singular, was open, which is the book of life. Now, the single book is the book of life. The books, plural, are the book of works. And notice it says, and the dead, the unsaved, were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their what? Works. Why? Christ has paid for their sin. So they have been trying to work their way to heaven. They've been trying to do something good to get there. Can they make it on their good works? We can put a man on the moon. But can a man work his way up to the third heaven? The moon is still in our first heaven. That's just like stepping out the back door when you talk about going to the third heaven. And you know how difficult it is to put a man on the moon. And that's just one step out the back door. No way you can get to the third one except through the blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. All right, now notice they're going to be judged for their works. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. That's the bodies. And death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to his work. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. In other words, all these people from Cain all the way through the end of the 1,000 years that died outside of trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, they go down here, they're all resurrected, and they stand before the great white throne judgment, and then they're cast into what God calls hell, Gehenna, the lake of fire. Now, what's the difference between Hades or Sheol and hell? The same difference it is between county jail and federal pen. You got bars on both. But county jail just holds the prisoner until he can be taken to the federal pen if he's guilty. And Hades is the place where unsaved spirits go. When they die, they go down here and they are held there until the great white throne judgment, and they will be resurrected. They will go back into their bodies. They will stand before the great white throne judgment. They will be judged for their works, and they will be found wanting. Because to get to heaven, you've got to be perfect. Which means you not only can't sin, but you've got to do the right thing all the time. If you ever flunked Well, if you ever made less than 100 on a test, you're not perfect. You have to make 100 on every test, too, to be perfect. Not only every test that you take in school, but you have to make 100 on everything that you do. Every job that you've ever done, you can't do it over again. Like the carpenter that saws off the board twice and is still too short, that doesn't count. When you saw it, it's got to be perfect. It's got to fit perfect every time. If you're driving a nail, you can never miss the nail. You've got to hit it perfect every time. That's what God requires for a man to go to heaven. But bless your heart, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, He died and took all of your sins off of you, all of your imperfections, everything that you've ever done wrong, and He died and paid for it. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He clothes you with His righteousness. And therefore, you can go to heaven, and you'll never have to stand before the great white throne judgment. Because only the dead that are in Hades are resurrected to stand before the great white throne judgment and then cast down into hell forever. Now, we'll get a little more into that when we get through that far in the book of Revelation. But that just gives you a little bird's eye view of it. I ask you a question this morning. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? When people die outside of Jesus Christ, friends, I want you to know for sure that they die and they slip off into hell. They slip off into Hades. And they'll be chained there. They'll stay there until the great white throne judgment. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. I'm just a mere mortal. I'm a man with infirmity. And yet I have never seen a man I wanted in hell. Never. How much more does God love us? And how much more does God want us in heaven? A whole lot more than I ever would. Or all this group here collectively together. He loves you, friend. He died for you. Will you trust Him as your Savior? Right now. You'll never have to worry about torment. You'll never have to worry about hell. Eternal life can be yours. Right now. If you'll trust Jesus Christ. What do I mean by trust? You know the facts. You know the facts that Jesus Christ died. You believe those facts to be true. I knew that for 19 years. And finally, I made that personal. I said, Jesus died for me. Christ paid for my sin. I'm trusting You to save me. And He saved me right there on the spot. And He'll do you right where you are right now if you'll trust Him. Let's pray. Oh, friend. Hell is real. Torment is a reality. And there are going to be people who will be tormented forever because they believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus talking to Nicodemus in the 3rd chapter of John, the 18th verse. He says, He that believeth on me is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The only reason why people are condemned is because they have not believed. I used to have a little track. And says, what must I do to go to hell? See inside. And you open inside and you know what's in there? Nothing. Blank. Why? You don't have to do anything to go to hell. Nothing. You're already condemned. What do you have to do to get to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. Believe He died for you personally. Just like you were the only person in the world, you'll trust Him to save you, and He will. Father, we do thank You for eternal life. It's Your free gift. We pray if there's one person here who's not made this decision, we pray the Holy Spirit
might show them that when you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're already condemned. And they will be judged forever. We know you said in your word that you would convict an unsaved man of sin of unbelief. The wonderful righteousness that we can have when we do believe, and eternal judgment when we reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray everyone here might understand these three principles.